Thank you, Donna. I was sitting down as the announcements were happening, and I had my head bowed, and I was thanking the Lord. And you think, why would a pastor be thanking the Lord for the announcements that take all that time? Because I've been, and I've visited places, I've visited churches that there are no announcements. I was thanking the Lord for you, for our church, because there's ministry taking place here at Valley. There are a lot of things that are happening for the children, for the men, for the women, praying. We're trying to do all we can to somehow bring Jesus into your hearts, into the hearts of the community. So yes, I was thanking the Lord for announcements. Just a favor to ask you, I know some of you have already done this, if you have your cell phones, would you just shut those out or put them on vibrate or... We're going to continue to worship the Lord. As you know, we start worship here at 9:30 here at Valley View. Actually, we start worship here at 9:15. And we're just continuing to worship right now. Let's bow our heads and have prayer. Father, as we continue to worship you, pray that the Holy Spirit may be here with us as we continue to learn more about what you want for us in our life, what we need to do for you to honor you and to glorify your name. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't grow up going to Vacation Bible School. By the way, we'll get to that. But I didn't grow up going to Vacation Bible School. The first 9 years of my life were an entirely vacation because I grew up in a nice tropical place, palm trees and sandy beaches, water between 75 and 85 degrees. And the most exciting thing about this, that you could go to the beach and you would be the only family there. Empty white sand beaches. I came here when I was 9, and I started attending a Spanish churches. As I grew up, the Spanish church really didn't, at least in my time, didn't really get into Vacation Bible School. I didn't know what it was until 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. I would see signs from the English churches that they were doing VBS. And I always wonder, what is VBS? Must be something that they're doing in their church. But I never grew up with anything that had to do with Vacation Bible School. Well, as you know, something changed in me. Because everywhere I go now, if there isn't a church that has children doing Vacation Bible School or doesn't have children, want children, it is children's ministry that's going to get them here. And last Sunday, there was a Vacation Bible School training, and there's another one this coming Sunday. There were about 30 of you that showed up, and we really appreciate all of you that were there. I know coming out on a Sunday at 9 o'clock, but thank you for being there. But you know what? 4 years ago when I came, and imagine, it's already been 4 years since I came, and some of you are saying, well, yeah, it's been a long time. But it's been 4 years, and I remember the enthusiasm that we had. Everybody wanted to participate and praise the Lord, and you know what? The enthusiasm, it's still there. I saw all the enthusiasm there, and I'm not gonna kid around with you. It is a lot of work. It is tiring. Oh, yes, and I mean, a whole week of this. But think about it this way: 365 days. We're only using 5 of those days. 6 with Sabbath, but only, you know. And then a couple hours during those 5 days. My wife and I are privileged to be here because we feel like the church is supporting Vacation Bible School. And that's the thing about Vacation Bible. Why is it so important to us? I mean, why do we spend all the money? Why do we spend all the thousands of hours to do this? I'd just like to remind you of a few things. Vacation Bible School, it demands all hands on deck. Whether you're praying for us, whether you're supporting financially, and whether you're supporting actually taking the time to do everything that needs to be done, we really appreciate it. And it wouldn't get done if it wasn't for all of you. So we thank you. And if you still have not gotten involved, there is still room for you. Talk to my wife, talk to me, talk to someone. Someone that you talk to will be aware what how you could help. The other thing why VBS is so important to me and I think to our church is because it was important to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said when the children were coming to him and the disciples were stopping them? Matthew 19:14. Leave the children alone. Don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like this. All the kids that you saw here, and I praise the Lord for all the kids that you saw here. I've been to churches and, well, I better stop there, but where they call for the children's story and there's one that comes up. We're blessed to have children. Amen? Amen? And Jesus loved the children. As a matter of fact, there's this statement in the Bible that we sometimes kind of think about it and says, wow, it's there. Because Jesus warned anyone who would cause a child to stumble to be taken out to a lake or to the sea, tied a big stone around its his or her neck and say, see you later. Jesus and children kind of go together. I believe that VBS is important for our church today, and we need to continue to support by finances and really you, because we continue to bring Jesus to the feet of the children. I mean, we put Jesus before them. This year, they're going to be learning. The overall theme is that they're going to be learning that they could trust Jesus, that Jesus is there for them. They're going to be learning about Daniel and that he was thrown in the lion's den and how God was there for him. They're going to be learning that the fact that when you stand up for your beliefs, God will honor you. And I hope and pray that you still believe that in your life as an adult. And so I'm, again, just letting you know that your pastor does support Vacation Bible School, because now I know what it is. And I would really, really continue to appreciate if you would continue to get involved. And those of you that have not, like I said, there is still room to help. So talk to me, talk to my wife. We'll do all we can to get you involved. All right. Now, what I was really going to talk to you about. By the way, just something interesting that I know you knew, but for those of you that didn't know, because we are talking about the fourth commandment, so it has to do with the commandments. Did you know that when Moses came down the mountain, the Bible says that it had two, he had how many tablets of stone? Two. And this is how we used to, you know, picture the two stones. But did you know, and I'm not going to go into it, but I was just a little fact that I'm going to share with you. Did you know that he was really carrying two copies? Read the Bible. It says that the stones were written on one side and the other side. The way they made contracts back then is still the way we made contracts today. When you go and buy something, what do they give you? A copy of what? Of the original. And that's what Moses had. He had, they used to, we have it like this, because if we would put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9, 10, you would only see the first four. You would have to be flipping them, so you put them side by side. But what he really had was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And he had two copies of those. You're thinking, Biblical principles for Sabbath observance. We started about a month ago. I'll continue today, and by the time, I will continue next week too. But quickly, I'm not going to go into the introduction that happened the last time you were here. We were building up to this. We got through the first three. These are biblical principles. If you want to write them down, go home. They're principles of why we as a Seventh-day Adventist church do certain things about the Sabbath, how we believe about the Sabbath. First thing in Ezekiel 20 there, to hallow the Sabbath means that we should have the utmost respect and reverence for the Sabbath. Utmost. And I went into that. I'm not going to go into that this morning. Exodus 28 through 11, we all know those texts. It says, remember the Sabbath. To remember the Sabbath is to think of it and plan for it when? Preparation day, Friday, about one hour before the Sabbath begins. It's to plan for it all week. In other words, this evening, when we pray, we thank the Lord for the Sabbath and the new week, we need to be praying, and Lord, prepare our hearts for the next time we meet with you as a church body. Number three, the third principle is also found in Exodus verses 8 and 11. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? H-O-L-Y, well, it means to keep the Sabbath holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, complete. Everything that we do must be according to what the Lord wants us to do. If you have your Bibles, we looked at a text of example of the wrong attitude about Sabbath. And I got to be honest with you, when I was a teenager, when I was younger, my attitude toward the Sabbath was not the right attitude. Look at this attitude here. And these are adults. These are people, I mean, adults. They know what they're doing. Chapter 8 and verse 5 of Amos, saying, this is what they were saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit? What were these people saying? The same thing that I thought when I was growing up. If Sabbath started at 7 o'clock, we were there at home at about 6:58, 6:59, watching our clocks, and it was like, okay, time to turn off the TV, 6:58, certain seconds, Sabbath has started. Saturday evening, 7:01, we were there, 7, 7, 59 seconds, 701, 702. Yay, amen, hallelujah. Happy. Is that the attitude for the Sabbath? No, that is the wrong attitude that people had toward the Sabbath. So now let's continue. Isaiah 58, 13, and 14. It doesn't show up very nice here. It looks very nice on my computer. And the picture, well, let's keep going. Isaiah 58, 13, 14. If you have your Bibles, I heard some of you already turning to that. And we read in the scripture, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then. It's one of those ifs and then things in the Bible. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. God's ideal for the Sabbath is to be a day of delight. It's to be a happy day. And sometimes we as parents struggle because sometimes the happiest day of the week turns out to be the not so happiest day of the week. Come on, we need to get ready. Go and go do something else. You come back. You're still not ready. Sabbath is boring. But this is the children's perspective. How about us as adults? Is it really? Is the Sabbath the happiest day of the week? Is the Sabbath a delight? You know, one of the reasons why Sabbath, you know how it took about 500 years in history for the Sabbath to totally be lost completely? Well, of course. There was a point in history, a time in history, where the Sabbath was a fast day. Fast, like no eating, fast, okay? Where the church was made to fast on Sabbath. And when Sunday came along, it was a feast day. Now, think about it. If you're a teenager, if you're growing up and Sabbath came along and you had to fast, and then Sunday came along and it was a feast. You got the food and the parties and the, and the worship and everything. If you're a child, what day would you pick? I think the adults would pick Sunday too. Yeah, Sabbath, the fast day, no eating, boring, praying. Sunday, feast day, hey, hallelujah, yes, good day. You can see we're about 300 years of this. Which day would be more, you know, prominent? God's ideal is for this day. Today, as we're sitting here, as we're learning, as you're relearning, or as you're saying, I know that already. That's okay. But we're learning and we're worshiping the Lord. Isaiah 58, 13, and 14. Again, we get another biblical principle for observing the Sabbath out of these two texts also. And what is that? Is that we lay aside our own words. We lay aside our own works, our own pleasures, and our own cares. And that, brothers and sisters, it is sometimes very hard to do. in the parable of the sower, what is it that causes some of the seed to flourish, but then it dries out and it's just not, it doesn't go anywhere? Do you remember? And I'm going to give you a hint. What is it that caused that plant to just wither and get choked? The cares of the world. Do you have any cares of the world? Yeah. There are cares of the world. There are some of you here maybe that are struggling with finances. And just the mere fact that I mentioned that, don't go there. Don't go there. We're here worshiping the Lord. But it's reality. The cares of the world. And yet the Lord is asking us that if we are able to put all that aside, that we will receive a blessing on this day. And the blessing that you receive will carry you through the week. It's like we get re-energized to know that God is with us, and let's move forward. Some of you might have gotten a bill yesterday in the mail, and you opened it up, and you're thinking, how am I going to be able to cover that bill? And you're sitting here worshiping the Lord, and the Lord is asking you to set aside the cares of the world. It's reality. But see, the Lord is also asking you and letting you know that if you do, there is a tremendous blessing when we're able to do that. That's why when I study with someone and I study, because we study two lessons practically, we study of why the importance of the Sabbath and the biblical mandate to keep Sabbath. But I go a step further and I give them biblical principles of how to keep the Sabbath. Because I don't know what your experience was when you came into the church, but sometimes we show proof, biblical proof of why we need to keep the Sabbath. And then we just say, well, welcome to the church, and we throw them in, and the member learns by trial and error how to keep the Sabbath. It's like, I remember the new believer coming into the church and just saying, whew, I had to go into the gas station to get here, and everybody's looking. And it's like, did I say something wrong? And you know, you explain about doing business on the Sabbath and all that. We lay aside our own words. How many times have I caught myself just mentioning something about golf? Or about tinkering with cars. Or something totally that doesn't really have to do anything with the Sabbath day. And then our mind is taken from what the Sabbath is all about to doing our own words, our own works, and our own pleasures. And then bringing the cares back into the world. When I studied with someone, I said, you know, that is why I recommend that if you're going to get, well, let's put it this way. I recommend, I say, not to get you mail on the Sabbath. That is my recommendation. I tell them, don't do it. Because I know what happens if you do that. And sometimes I've said, but Pastor, I live like 20 miles up the mountain, and when I go from church to Sabbath, I go by the little post office, and if I do that, I have to go, fine, get the mail, but stick your hand in and put it in a bag and just go. You know, that's fine. However, here's what happens. You get the mail today. Some of you will do that and that. All right. But you get that mail and you just kind of glance at one of the letters and it's that three initials, IRS. And you could just calmly say, oh, it doesn't matter. I could put that away and not think about it. You kidding? If I saw that, an envelope IRS, I'm like, did we get a refund? Are we going to pay? Are they auditing me? Did I do something? You know, and then you start thinking about what? The cares of the world. Have you ever caught yourself in worshiping and thinking about tomorrow's great vacation you're going to start? I know you haven't, but I have. No, I'm not taking a vacation tomorrow. I'm going to be here working in the house of the Lord, and I'm inviting each one of you to do so. But you see, Isaiah 58, 13, and 14 is really asking us to be very careful on what words we use, doing our own pleasure on the Sabbath, talking about all the cares of the world. I'm going to go through this last one, and we'll continue next Sabbath. But Exodus 16:23. Now remember here, I'm giving you the biblical principle, so if you want to write it down, go ahead. You go home, you read it, you study it out, you pray, and see where the Lord leads you. But this is what we glean from this. Exodus 16, verse 23. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake. Boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until the morning." Now let's go to the New Testament. Luke. Chapter 23, verses 53 through 56. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed that the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. What is this biblical principle about? That we prepare our foodstuff, our homes, our hearts, our persons on the sixth day. I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this Sabbath. I was thinking, you know, we say a lot about the resurrection day, Sunday. And of course, it's, you know, the wrong worship day. So we sort of have a lot to say about Sunday. We say a lot about Sabbath. But I'm thinking, when was the last time I preached about the sixth day, the preparation day? And I was thinking, it's been a long time since I preached about the preparation day. But the principle here is that we prepare our hearts, our homes on the sixth day. And I was also thinking the sixth day. You know, the seventh day, because it's a biblical mandate, starts when? Sundown when? Friday evening. Very good. And when is it over? Sundown. Saturday evening. Okay. So tonight, sundown. So I was thinking then, following the biblical example then, preparation day would be Thursday evening to what? Friday evening, which I was thinking that makes sense if we start preparing, you know, our family, if we started on Thursday cleaning the house and doing everything, maybe Friday evening wouldn't be such a rush. But, you know, we try to do, us as a family, all we can, and sometimes it ends up, most of the time it ends up being a little bit rushed. And preparing, you know, Pastor, does that mean that I can't even do a salad? No, that this is not what this is saying. What this is saying is that in all the preparation that you're doing, if it takes you away from really honoring the Lord and thinking about Him, maybe that super humongous meal that you're preparing that you have to stay home for because you're doing all the cooking and you're thinking of all the guests that are coming and you have to not come to church because you have to be there. Maybe. I'm just saying maybe. Maybe a taco salad would be better, but keeping the Sabbath than to do an elaborate four-course meal for whoever's coming, even if it is the president of the general conference. But maybe it just might be better to do simple and honor God than to go elaborate and end up all tired. I'm glad this Sabbath day is over. And preparing our hearts. Sometimes, because of all the cares and things that are happening during the week, we start realizing that Sabbath is approaching Friday morning, when in reality our hearts should be have started getting prepared a week before. Sabbath, a date with you, is very important to God. He wants that time with you. He wants those 24 hours with you. And even though He takes care of you for 8 or 9 where you don't even know what's happening because you're sleeping, but He's there watching you and saying, get a good night's rest. Tomorrow, you will come and worship me, and I'll be there with you. And then in the afternoon, we could spend time together, and we could learn. Yeah, I could teach you. You could ask. We'll spend a good Sabbath together. Well, I've taken more than enough time. We will continue next Sabbath. I will be here next Sabbath, so it's not like 4 months later I will continue. No, we'll continue next Sabbath on the biblical principles of Sabbath observance. Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn, which I don't have a hymn book, but somebody is going to tell me what number that is. 383. All right, thank you very much. 383. let's have prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Really, we want to thank you for the Sabbath day. I want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to spend a whole day in communion with you. Father, this is just in preparation because we know that in the new earth, it will be daily that we'll spend time with you, every day. And yes, that special Sabbath day will continue to be there throughout eternity, where we could come together and worship you as a congregation, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Be with us during the rest of this day, during the rest of the Sabbath day. Guide our thoughts, our mind, our hearts to always honor you in your day. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.